Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. Oh, it is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Friday morning on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocky Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Who understands that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage? That's the difference. Rocky Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Number to call, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
NFL picks coming your way later on this hour, but what do you need to know here on this October Friday morning? Here you go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Astros now one win away from the World Series.
Oh, they certainly are. It's not like they've had an offensive explosion in this series, Taz, but they're in big hits with runners in scoring position. I think they were, you know, 3 for 14. They've come with guys on base, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Correa, Springer last night. Both had a pair of three-run bombs, gave the Astros a 6-1 lead. They go on to win the game 8-3. They're a smart, heady team. You know, Zach Greinke wasn't exactly great. He couldn't get out of the fifth inning, but he was good enough. That Astros bullpen has been dominant. Masahiro Tanaka gutted his way through 5 innings before handing the ball off. Chad Green, then after warming up, I mean, how many times can you warm Chad Green up before he comes in the game? He warmed up on 3 occasions before he finally came into the game. You know, he promptly gives up that big home run to Carlos Correa, which was a problem at the time.
No, and, you're right about the warm-up there, too. It's like, stop. It kills your joint.
He was warming up in the first inning.
That's tough.
Second inning, I should say. Second inning.
How many pitches? We talk about pitch count all the time. Think about that, right?
Yeah, good point.
You know?
Yeah, you're right about that. And this Yankee team, offensively, Taz, as good as they were in the regular season, they've gone quiet. And they're not doing much. They were 0-7. With runners in scoring position, had 13 strikeouts. There's a number of guys in that lineup that are really struggling. I mean, you could count on basically 3 fingers the guys that are hitting: DJ LeMahieu, Aaron Judge, and Gleyber Torres.
Yeah,
that's it. The rest of them aren't hitting, and that's a problem.
Yeah,
when you're looking at the ALCS and trying to get yourself to the World Series.
Well, no, you're right. And for a team like the Yankees that have so much, you know, legitimate firepower, offensive firepower. And for their bats to get real quiet now, at this point where it's do or die, and now you find yourself 1-3 in this series, and you're fixing to be outski and not going to the World Series here, because I think tonight it's over. Now, you asked me the question earlier. I feel that the Yankees are going to lose at home tonight to this Astro team. I mean, I got no dog in the fight, but you know, I got to tell you, I just think momentum is truly on the side of the Astros. After we saw the Yankees successfully sweeping the Twins, excuse me, in the ALDS, you know, I don't know, I felt like, man, the guys are going to be rested. They're waiting on the Astros. They're dealing with a feisty Tampa Bay team. Well, Tampa had, remember those couple of wins at home in Tampa there and that horrible dome gimmick Jones they have? But no, all that rest didn't mean nothing that the Yankees had, because even though they did win that first game, you pointed that earlier, I should say, now Houston leads 3-1, and your Bombers are in deep, deep trouble.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think it does end tonight as well, with Verlander on the mound for the Houston Astros. James Paxton will be on the mound for the Yankees. And, you know, the Astros are also a ticked-off team, playing with a little bit of an edge because of that story we mentioned earlier on in the program about the whistling in Game 1, a game in which the Yankees won 7-0, and the Astros didn't do anything offensively. And I think the Astros, Taz, we watch baseball all year long. I think they're ticked off about this idea where people kind of want to downplay their success because they feel like they're cheating, whether it be stealing signs, relaying signs, looking for an edge. I mean, and I think they've basically heard enough of it. A.J. Hinch basically told you as much before the game yesterday. Correa, after the game last night, and he had a big 3-run home run, said, listen, nobody was tipping pitches and we weren't stealing signs tonight. And we came through with big hits. So it's not all about that. I think they're a little ticked off about this story coming out, the Yankees leaking it out there, complaining about them whistling during game one.
Yeah, it's a silly story. We talked about that earlier. It's ridiculous that even came up. But I get your point, and I could see how I agree.
I can motivate you.
Yeah, definitely motivates you how the Houston Astros definitely have a chip on their shoulder, because they feel like, what, we're just not good enough. We don't have enough, you know, enough firepower, enough excellent pitching. We don't have guys like Springer, guys like Bregman, guys like Altuve, guys like Correa that aren't enough talented guys that we can't just get credit for winning games. We got to be cheating this, that, and the other thing. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, whatever motivates you to keep on winning, whatever motivates you and your teammates to keep winning, no matter what sport it is, no matter what team it is, what style it is, you got to keep rolling with it. So if you're going to have that attitude, if the Astros have that attitude, it's working because they got a big 8-3 victory on the road in the Bronx last night. You know, and they put up eight solid hits, clutch hits at the right times. And the Yankees just, what, they have four or five hits the whole game? And four errors.
Yeah, four errors. Yeah. They had to go back to 76. The most Yankees had five errors in a playoff game. So right behind that, they were atrocious last night. Here's Hinch, the Astros manager, on his team's pitching success.
Zach getting out of the first with only one run, you know, having spent a lot of pitches and a lot of stressful pitches and some really good at-bats by the Yankees. Was pivotal for us to just kind of hang in there. I was asked a lot about our bullpen coming into this series. The series is not over, but so far this series, our bullpen has been huge to complement a really good starting rotation.
Yeah, I wanted to mention one other thing with regards to this game, Taz, that you and I have yet to discuss. Feel terrible for CC Sabathia, who had to leave the game due to injury. We know this is his last year. You know, he came back for one more year. He helped the Yankees win a World Series in 2009. You know, he's debatable whether or not he'll have his name called for Cooperstown and be a Hall of Famer, but he's awfully close. He's had a wonderful MLB career, whether it be with the Indians, the Brewers, or the Yankees. Last night, if you missed it, if you weren't watching, came in relief. That's his role for this team. Guys were on base. Threw a pitch, knee buckled, hurt his shoulder, walked off the mound, grimacing in pain. Threw a pitch to see if maybe he could continue. He couldn't. The Yankee trainer walked him off and went into the clubhouse. Did not address the media after the game. And, you know, he could easily be replaced on the roster before the game tonight. I mean, you feel terrible for a guy that's the way that he goes out. You know, leaving the mound hurt.
Yeah,
that's a tough way to go out.
I completely agree, and the guy has had some kind of career for sure. Hell of an athlete, hell of a pitcher for so many years, and his success. And yeah, you're right. For it to end like that, you know, like you said, buckling the knee and then he's grabbing at the shoulder. I mean, it's tough. It's tough. And then, yeah, you do. It is sad. It is sad. And because, you know, everybody wants to have some kind of, you know, in your mind, a great send off. Not that you need to be praised, but just you end on your own. You know, in a positive way. And for something, a guy like this who had such an excellent career, you know what I mean? Like, it's to end, to potentially end like this, it's
well,
it stinks.
I mean, and Taz, you were in the wrestling game, and how many guys you hear, whether it be, you don't want to go out hurt.
No.
You never, as a performer, as an athlete, as a competitor, you never want to leave, whether it be the ring, the field, the ice. You never want to be your last moment in that respective sport to be walking off the field hurt. I mean, I felt bad. Listen, Sabathia's career is over. He knows it's over. He's no longer that kind of pitcher any longer. But he wanted to see. He's done so much for the game, and he's battled a lot outside of the game as well.
Right.
I really felt bad for him that's the way it ended. And, you know, it was a tough scene. When he's not talking to the media after the game, and he's not like that, Taz, you know, last night was a really difficult night for Sabathia.
Yeah, no, it really was. And that's why you saw him get emotional. He threw that one pitch to see if he was okay, remember? And he, as he walked off with the trainer, and he was emotional. I mean, and you're gonna, it wasn't because he was in pain. It's because he knows. He hit his face in his glove. He knows. You could see his face. He was
it's
very
over.
Emotional. It's done.
Yeah.
It's done.
Tough.
Tough deal.
Very, very tough. We'll see what happens tonight. Yankees, I mean, by hook or by crook, I mean, one way or the other, if it ends tonight or game six Saturday night, or even if they should get it by game seven Sunday night, the Astros are going to the World Series.
Send it tonight, Moose.
Yeah. Thank you, Taz. Appreciate that.
Just letting you know.
I'm Mr. Yankee that you are.
I don't root against him.
I know that. I know. And I called. I smelt that one out before. The Mets get eliminated. I root for New York.
I know. Is it bad, though? Let me ask you, as a Yankee fan, what's like? Is that like a guy like me that does that, or would you rather deal with the guy that the Met fan that is blunt, that he hates the Yankees, and he's like Andrew Bogus is like
that?
Bogus
was like celebrating.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
a little more passive aggressive. Like, I like to do things underhanded. That's
my thing. I'd probably rather deal with the guy that's in your face.
You know, because you just know.
I just know. Yeah. I know what I'm walking into, I know the room that I'm walking into.
Right.
you know, the grin and the wry smile on the face after a tough Yankee loss.
But me, I'm like, hey, Yanks looked pretty good the other day.
Yes, I know. Yeah. And then secretly at home, you're like, man, come on, go.
I'm wearing an Astros helmet.
He just batting bought helmet. Taz is on the MLB website buying a Coltrane shirt. I'm on the Coltrane.
That's funny.
All right. Next.
Number two.
Patrick Mahomes exits game versus Broncos with a knee injury.
Yeah, so he'll undergo an MRI. There was not much to talk about the game. I mean, the Broncos got destroyed.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I said it before, I'll say it again. I was dead wrong on Flacco. He stinks. He's terrible. And that offensive line got absolutely thoroughly embarrassed last night for the Denver Broncos. As John Elway is sitting there watching it, what is it? Is it still in Vesco Field at Mile High or whatever the hell they're calling it now? I don't know who's sponsoring it. But Mile High Stadium, the new Mile High. The Broncos are a mess with under Vic Fangio, but the story is, despite the Chiefs' win 30-6, Patrick Mahomes on a quarterback sneak first half, injures his knee, dislocates his kneecap. He'll have an MRI today. He was able to walk off the field. You saw the trainer pop the kneecap back into place. He seemed to be upbeat, meeting his teammates after the game, Taz. He had a full-length black sleeve on his entire right leg in the Chiefs' locker room after the game. We'll see how long he's out. As one health expert said, it could be 3 weeks or it could be the year. So they're hoping that it's just 3 weeks and he's able to get back on the football field and there's no significant ligament damage.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, it stinks for the Chiefs and for the team and for the fan base that, you know, he could be out for a few weeks. But, you know, when he initially got hurt on that quarterback sneak, which we talked about earlier, it's a rare thing that people get hurt or athletes get hurt on. It's not a high-impact player, quarterback sneak, but, you know, it's a strange thing. It's a weird thing that happened, and that's what happened to Mahomes. But, you know, the way he was walking up that field, it looked like it was going to be a lot worse. You know what I mean? It looked like, oh, boy. And, you know, who knows? We'll see. I mean, so it's – the thing is, he is the face of the NFL, and he's the right face of the NFL. So it's tough for the game, for the league, you know, for the Shield. It is tough. But – and then we talked about the Madden curse because he's on the cover of the Madden game.
Yes,
and all the athletes have been injured. Everyone on the cover of that gimmick, and it's like kind of hard to argue with the Madden
eerie
curse.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird deal. But I mean, it's good they faced the Chiefs. It's also good. I'm sorry, it's good they faced the Broncos because the Broncos are El Stinko, and it's really good that they have this legitimate defense, the Kansas City Chiefs, because they do. Their defense played excellent. And that defense, you know, basically got the win. And they're going to have to rely on that defense. They're going to have to really rely on that defense. What do they got next? They got Green Bay next at home. So that's Sunday Night Jones next week. So, you know, they got some time to prepare for that. So we'll see what happens.
We will. Most importantly, and we'll have it covered right here on CBS Sports Radio, when those MRI results come out, hopefully for the Chiefs, for the NFL, for the football fan out there, that Mahomes is not done for the year, that he'll be back and maybe within a month, Taz, that he's back quarterback in this Kansas City team. And when those results are out, you'll certainly hear about it next.
Number three.
NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says financial losses in China, substantial.
I would imagine. I mean, I would imagine they are. Since they're no longer on television, the NBA games have been taken over. This is after the Daryl Morey tweet, Taz. Andrew and I spent a lot of time, especially after LeBron James came out and made the statement that he had made, which was kind of nonsense. But you look at Silver here. Yeah, you know, now there are guys that still have got sneaker deals. I think I mentioned a couple of them. You know, Dwayne Wade still has got his sneaker deal. CJ McCollum has still got a sneaker deal. Amazingly enough, a current Brooklyn Net has got a sneaker deal over in China. Uh-oh. What Brooklyn Net, Mike Biseglia, has a sneaker deal in China?
It's Dinwiddie?
And you call yourself?
Correct.
Oh, wow, he guessed. You
did
guessed.
Guess.
Mr.
But it was
did
an
you
educated,
know that or did you guess?
That was an educated guess.
Right.
But it was a guess.
So Spencer Dinwiddie hopped on Twitter yesterday and said, they're still selling my sneakers in China.
Funny. Hey, Mike,
he's a funny
I think
guy.
Moose just gave you a good segment for basketball drops.
Buying sneakers in
China? In China. That are Dinwiddie's, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Probably bad.
Right.
What am I going to say? So Spencer Dinwiddie has shoes
Mike
in China.
Should go over to China, turn on Uber, buy a pair of Dinwiddie sneakers, and deliver food in China.
That sounds awful.
That's a really bad idea.
And terrifying.
I would say, you know, you could do... Well, no, you can't
I'll
do
have
that.
A hard time with the GPS.
If you pulled sound like B-roll, like from this show about that, put it in your podcast, but you can't do that.
That's illegal.
Well, I'll file an injunction against you and a cease and desist.
There's no shot I'm doing anything like
it's
that.
It's illegal.
Putting myself in any jeopardy for anything dumb.
I know. I'm joking. Everybody relax. I'm just teasing, okay?
Out of the podcast.
Take it out of the podcast.
I don't think it's going to end well here, Taz, for the NBA. I really don't. And I don't think the NBA has handled this situation either all that well. So you would imagine, yes, the financial impact on the national. What Adam Silver said initially, then how they had to walk that back and talking about guys having freedom of speech and then China having the reaction that they did. Of course, I mean, you know, what the NBA is hoping here, Taz, is that over the course of time, people forget and people move on. I mean, no one's making it. You want to know how popular basketball is over in China? Now, obviously, the population is significantly higher as compared to the United States. But basketball in China is 2.5 times more popular than it is here in the States.
Because we live here, you don't think about that. But that's crazy, right?
I mean, it's
that's
insane.
Nuts.
Now they've got a lot more people. I get that, but we're not talking about we're not talking about soccer here. I mean, you know, and soccer is widely popular across the pond. But I mean, we're talking about the NBA is so successful; they generate so much revenue coming from that market that now they're just hoping. I don't know if there's nothing they can do publicly to try and rectify the relationship, nor do I think they should. I think they're hoping that over the time, maybe that China does move on, their games get back on TV, and they go from there.
Yeah.
That's all they could do, no?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Are we doing our picks now?
No, not right now. We got to go to break.
Okay.
We still have breaks this hour, right, Pete?
Correct.
855-212-4227. We got Week 7 NFL picks coming your way next. It's Taz, it's Moose, it's CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. And the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4227. CBS Sports Radio is toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. We got our Week 7 NFL picks coming your way here momentarily. Greg is here. The bearded one. Final update of the morning with us. What's going on, Greg?
Nothing, man. Just, counting the minutes down and looking forward to a good weekend here.
Oh, there you go. Big plans this weekend?
I'll be here tomorrow and Sunday morning.
Oh, that's awesome. That's nice. Great stuff. Hanging out here is awesome.
Yeah. So, me and Billy G are actually talking about getting together Monday Night Football. It would be the first time hanging out with a coworker here. So, Billy,
nice. Where are you guys going to go?
Hold on a second. You're talking about the weekend. You're talking about Monday. I'm confused. What's going on here?
Well, it's part of his weekend.
Part of my weekend, getting through it, and then I'll get to hang out with Billy G.
Oh, not here.
No, not here.
I missed this.
No, he's going out to a bar. Wings?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Moose.
Billy's sick.
Billy G is popular. I mean, Mikey B's his boy.
Oh, yeah.
Greg's his boy.
Billy right now is in the little, we call it the green room.
It's
where the stale water is and the vending machine that barely works.
It's a horrible room.
And the microwave that you would never heat food up in.
Yeah, no.
Not the fridge. But
when guests come in, let's put them in there, though.
That's where when we had, who'd we have on? We had Chase Utley in here. Had a nice conversation in the green room. He refused to sit in one of the chairs.
Yeah, he said, exactly. He said, someone spray that down with alcohol.
Billy right there is taking a little bit of a mental break. He's been under the weather. He was out sick yesterday. And right now he's like, I just don't feel well.
Is that true about Utley when he was here? Is that a true story?
What's
he didn't want to sit in those chairs?
I made that up.
I would have ran with it. That's awesome. That's true.
It was a joke.
Take that out of the podcast.
He did
Mike.
Stay. He did
Mike's Moose's joke was funny. I ruined it. Sorry about that. Damn it. I should have kept my mouth
I chummed the water in Tasbin.
I did. You had
no,
me.
I'm like, what do you think? I'm going to ask Chase Utley and be like, sit in the chair. No, I refuse.
Well, when he came in, Chase the Utley, he looked very, very sanitary man.
Yeah.
So,
The PR guy was sitting there. He was lounging, feet up.
Yeah.
Utley was standing there. I was having a conversation. We were talking about our kids.
Well, that chair in the green room, who knows what's happened in that thing on the weekends at night, too.
You know I've never been in there, so I've heard horror stories, but that's
bad.
All I know.
Yeah, it's a bad room.
Yeah. You have Keurig machines that don't work.
That fridge is the nastiest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, no,
it has a smell.
There's mold that moves now.
All right.
The mold actually moves. Shifts around.
All right.
It's a
mold
amoeba.
Has mold.
It's amoeba. Happy Friday.
All right. Oh, great. Take it away.
Yes, sir. And all the pitching chatter coming into the ALCS was the Astros' advantage in the rotation, the Yankees' overwhelming edge in the bullpen, but results matter more than anything. And now Houston's a win away from the World Series after going up 3-1 with Thursday's 8-3 win in the Bronx. Here's Astros manager A.J. Hinch. After 5 relievers combined on 4 2/3 and allowed just 2 hits behind starter Zach Greinke.
Will Harris, standard operation. Will kind of comes in, does his job. Joe Smith, you know, was an error away from having a clean inning. Osuna coming in, getting a big out in the 8th inning, and then waiting around a little bit, and then I sent him back out just to finish the game and be done with it. Did a nice job having a scoreless outing.
Yanks could only muster 5 hits. The Astros got 8, a couple of 3-run dingers from Carlos Correa and George Springer. Yanks 0-7 with runners in scoring position. They're now 0-for their last 14 dating back to Game 2. The starter in that one, Justin Verlander, goes for the knockout punch tonight against James Paxton. Good luck, boys. Aaron Boone's going to need to make a roster move. CC Sabathia exited the 8th inning with a left shoulder injury. Could be the final appearance of his career. Dusty Baker had his second interview with the Phillies yesterday. Buck Showalter on tap for his second visit today. Joe Girardi expected back for number 2 early next week. And they say that the baseball lifer is dying in the manager's chair, but the Phillies bucking that trend. Thursday night football, Broncos no match for the Chiefs. 30-6 the final from Mile High. Unfortunately, Patrick Mahomes dislocated his right kneecap on a quarterback sneak early in the second. Matt Moore relieved him, got Andy Reid his 200th career regular season win, tied for 6th most in NFL history.
They didn't let down, which you've seen that over the years. You've seen teams that let themselves down after one of your best players or the best player gets hurt, in particular the quarterback. And I was proud that our guys just stepped up and kept battling and really everybody upped their game.
MRI expected today from Mahomes to see if there's any ligament damage in the knee. If not, he's expected to miss a minimum of 3 weeks. New Rams corner Jalen Ramsey practiced in full yesterday, could suit up for his debut on Sunday in Atlanta. Really happy to see that his back's feeling better. Jets linebacker C.J. Mosley said he's playing on Monday night against the Patriots. He's been dealing with a groin injury that derailed him in Week 1. College football tonight, number 4 Ohio State on the road against Northwestern. And 3 games tomorrow featuring top 25 talent, number 12 Oregon and number 25 Washington. 13th ranked Utah, home for Arizona State. And a good one in Happy Valley between number 7 Penn State and 16th ranked Michigan. Finally, NBA, Zion Williamson's first visit to Madison Square Garden as a pro will be put on hold. The Pelicans are playing their preseason finale against the Knicks tonight, but Zion's not with them. Needs to go for tests on a sore right knee. Gentlemen, a pleasure as always, and see you next time.
Great job.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it, buddy.
Have yourself, enjoy those wings with Billy G on Monday night.
Yeah, right, have
don't
a good
get
one.
Sick.
Tell Billy we said hi.
Here we go. Some NFL picks, Week 7. Go.
The Taz and Moose picks are for fun only. This is not for gambling purposes, just some chuckles and a good time. Enjoy the Taz and Moose picks now. Listen irresponsibly.
It's now time for the Taz and Moose NFL picks. The 3 picks you need to know.
All right, so a little bit of a recap here. Taz is leading the way. He is 12-6 through the first 6 weeks of the NFL season, 1-2 a week ago. He's got a 5-game lead. I've been terrible with my NFL picks. 1-2 once again last week. I'm 7-11.
Nice.
Maybe that's a good sign. 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven.
No okay. doubt. Fantastic coffee in the morning.
Yeah, I got to tell you.
Great breakfast treats.
It's all good there, yeah. I'm disappointed in myself. I mean, I'm battling 12-6. I got a 5-pick lead, but I'm battling this. I mean, yeah, you're dreadful right now, but I'm disappointed. I'm going to do better this week. I want to go undefeated this
there
week.
There you go. You like the attitude.
I'm positive.
There you go. Positive, Taz, positive. On a Friday morning. Like to hear it.
All right.
All right. Here we go. You got to pick number one. You lead the way. You go.
Why do I got to go?
Because I was leading in college. I went first. You lead in the NFL. You go first.
All right.
That work?
That's fine. We're going to go. What do we got? We talked a little about this earlier because of Jalen Ramsey being on the Rams down at the defensive backfield. So we've got the Rams going down to Atlanta. Atlanta is the underdog. Atlanta is +3. I like the Rams in this one, buddy. I'm going to go with the Rams. They will cover. I just feel like it's just too much talent. I understand Atlanta's home and the Falcons are home, but the thing is, it's just too much firepower. There's momentum right now. Even though Jalen Ramsey, and probably with a lot of people down on him, what was going on in Jacksonville with the back injury, he was not playing for two, three weeks, whatever the heck it was. I do think that when a guy like that comes into a new team, even though the Rams are a really good team, I do think it even helps more. I think it brings some positivity. He ups the game of other players on that defense because he's such a good defensive player. Arguably the best D-back in the game, arguably, right? So he's in there, he's probably sitting at that left cornerback spot with guys like Weddle at free safety and who else they got? They got Rapp there. So, I just think the defense is going to step up against an Atlanta team that's just not very good. Matt Ryan and crew are going to lose this game. I'll take L.A. to cover.
Like it. Like that pick very much.
Kind of long-winded on that. Sorry.
No, all good. Pick number one for me, I'm going to take the Giants. I'm going to lay the 3. They're healthier. Barkley makes his return for the Giants. You like to see that. Arizona Cardinals come into town. I think you're going to get points in this one both ways. The over-under number for the game is 51. I'm going to take Big Blue. I'm going to lay the 3. I think they get themselves the 3-4. Amazingly enough, you look at a Giant team that's not particularly good. They're just a game out of first place in what has been a maligned NFC East as the Eagles and Cowboys are both leading that division, tied up at 3 games at 3-3 records. And they'll meet up down in Jerry's World on Sunday as well. But give me the Giants. The return of Barkley means a lot.
Yeah.
I think he'll take a lot of the pressure off Daniel Jones. I don't think the Cardinals defensively can wreak havoc and get after the Giant quarterback. I think defensively, Giants have made some strides. I think they might be able to get after Kyler Murray a little bit as well. Give me Big Blue laying the 3. That's pick number 1 for me.
All right, sounds good. So I'm going to surprise some people on this next game. We're going to go with the Bills. They're hosting the Dolphins, as we know. We talked about this. And obviously, consistent of every game this year, the Miami Dolphins are an underdog, okay? And they're +17 in this game. You got 17 also, right?
That's correct. Not, 17.
I saw someplace 17.5, too.
But yeah, I got it at 17.
Okay, cool. So we'll go with 17. So Miami is +17. Believe it or not, I'm going to take Miami in this. They're going to lose the game. I just don't think my Bills are going to beat them by 17. I hope I'm wrong.
Wow, there you go.
But I do. I think 17 is a lot in the NFL. 17 is a lot in the NFL. I understand how bad that the Dolphins are. And it's cool for the Bills that my squad's coming off a bye week. But, look, Kenyon Drake's a good running back. Okay, he is. Now they're going with Fitzpatrick instead of Rosen, right? I saw that while I was on my wrestling trip.
Correct.
Am I correct on that? Yes. So that's a movement right there. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to be confusing anyone here, Boos. Dolphins are going to get beat.
But you like them to cover.
I do.
I got it. That's a lot of points.
17. So.
Especially with Fitzpatrick at quarterback.
That's what I mean. So, just a lot. And, anyway, I feel like I'm going to go with the Dolphins. Give me the 17. I'll take the Dolphins.
That's a gutsy pick. I like it. All right. Let's head down to our nation's capital, and I'm going to take the 49ers. I'm going to lay 10 against the Skins. And I understand handling success. Last week was a big test, and I get you. West Coast team coming east, 1 o'clock start, down in Landover, Maryland. You say, they just knocked around the Rams. Maybe the 49ers have a little bit of a setback. I don't think so. Not with that coach, Kyle Shanahan, who's a great offensive mind. And he was asked about his time down in D.C. when he was part of his father's staff, Mike Shanahan. McVay was on that staff. LaFleur was on that staff as well and said he liked the coaches, liked some of the players. But also he said it kind of ended after that. After the players and the coaching staff, he said they're very dysfunctional. And the dysfunction continues for the Washington Redskins. McLaurin's a player at wide receiver. They don't have a lot. And I don't think Callahan's going to prove to be the solution. Last week, they beat a god-awful Miami team on the road and held on for dear life at the end. They come back home. not a lot of faithful that's going to be believing in Washington. The place is not going to be rocking. Give me the 49ers. Lay the 10. They physically impose their will on the Skins. That's pick number 2 for me.
All right, so pick number 3 for me. We're gonna do a little action in Cincinnati. We got the Jacksonville Jags traveling on the road to take on the underdog known as the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are +3.5 home dog, as we say in the business. Home dog Jones. I'm gonna take Jacksonville to cover in this thing here, Moose. So I'll take the Jaguars to cover. Too much right now. I do think that defense for the Jaguars. Motivated now that Ramsey's gone, even though they liked Ramsey and he was part of that, the success of that defense. I do think guys like AJ Boye, I think guys like Miles Jack, I think Campbell, these guys, they want to prove that they are legit with or without Jalen Ramsey. I think that's a big plus. Minshew gimmick, quarterback Jones, this guy came out of nowhere and he's a good player. I just think they're going to beat up on the Bengals. I think Fournette's going to have a day, kids. Pay attention to me, everybody. Leonard Fournette will have a big day, probably about $125 yards. That's 125 for those not counting. I think Marquise Lee will have a great day as a playing receiver, as will Westbrook. So I'm Jaguars all the way in this thing. Love the Jags. My second favorite NFL team, by the way. So I'll take the Jags to cover over Cincy. Okay.
My third pick. I love the Chiefs this week on the road in Denver. Take it up.
Good job, Moose. I like your chances. I'm with you on that one. I'll take a fourth pick. I'll take the Chiefs, too. I'm with you.
Offensive touchdown.
My third and final pick. I'm going to go with the Monday night game, and why not? I'm going to take the Jets.
Whoa!
Plus the points.
Whoa!
At East Rutherford. I'm going to take them plus the 10 against the Patriots.
Wow, so you like the 10, right?
Well, that's why. Yeah, I don't think they win the game, Taz. Very similar to your pick in terms of the Miami Dolphins. I wish I was getting 17. I'm only getting 10. I'll tell you, you know, you and I talked about it. We chatted about, you know, that Brady offense, not exactly clicking on all cylinders.
Mm.
And you look at the Jets, when they stepped in, when Sam Darnold stepped onto that field, Taz, and you know this better than anybody playing in Division II football, it seemed like that team all of a sudden believed.
Yeah.
I mean, and great quarterbacks can do that. I know Sam Darnold's got a ways to go to be that kind of a cow, but he's that kind of a presence on that for that organization. He talked about this offense when it gets going has a chance to be great. I know the Patriot defense is very, very good. I just think it's a lot. I think it's a lot of points for a Patriot team that I've kind of been underwhelmed with a little bit this year.
On the road, too. On the road.
Yeah. That place will be rocking.
They hate the Patriots.
They hate the Patriots. That place will be rocking on Monday night. I'm going to take the Jets. I'll take the 10 points. I think the Patriots remain undefeated. But I could see this game, you know, being a 7 to, you know, 9-point spread at the end. Maybe the Jets get a garbage touchdown for a late cover, something of that nature. Give me the Jets plus the 10 on Monday night. That's my third and final
pick. I would love it. I mean, and I'm a fan of the Bills that are in the same division. I would love it just to see the Patriots lose to a 1-4 Jets team.
Oh,
God. In Jersey there? Oh, Belichick would be so pissed. Oh, my God.
I know. He hates the Giants, hates the Jets.
Hates the Jets organization. Hatred. Oh, my God. It's a good Monday night game. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it'll be a fun atmosphere.
Yeah.
Because the two franchises can't stand one another. The Jet fan, that place will be rocking.
We'll
be partying all day long.
Me and the Bills Mafia on Monday just partying, laughing off our big victory over the Dolphins, watching these two teams beat each other up. It's awesome.
Oh, well, I look forward to the videos on Sundays when the Bills are home.
Oh, my God. Imagine all this. They're going to be throwing Dolphins through tables.
Worth the price of admission.
There's going to be, you'll see fake Dolphins getting thrown all over cars, thrown into windows. Oh, yeah. I get the emails on what the memo is, so I know what they're going to do ahead of time.
What do you mean? You're like Bill's Mafia super fan.
I'm more like a shop steward there.
Oh, a shop steward.
Yeah, like a union member.
Give the A-OK what things are allowed and what things aren't?
I'm more of a consultant. I just give opinions on it. And especially the wrestling maneuvers they use. They're usually horrible, but it's funny. But, there's going to be some tiki torches involved, just to give you a little heads up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Set up that South Beach theme.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to bring a little fire into it this week.
Oh, nice.
It's nice up there in Orchard Park.
There you go.
A little fire. It's getting chilly out. You know
really?
I mean?
Nothing smells like fun, like alcohol, fire, and football.
Well, it takes some lighter fluid. burning table, flaming table.
Of course.
Big thing up there. And turn it on fire and then just maybe do an RKO to someone through a table. There's an idea.
There you have it. Your Taz and the Moose picks here for a Football Friday.
You want to do the rundown?
Seven is upon us. You want to do the rundown quick? Yeah. Here are my three picks. I'm taking the Jets plus 10, the 49ers laying the 10, and the Giants laying 3 against the Arizona Cardinals.
I got the Rams covering over the Falcons 3. I got the Bills. I'm sorry, I got the Dolphins plus 17. I think it's a lot of points, so I'll take that. And then I got the Jaguars covering over the Cincinnati Bengals 3.5.
There you have it. We got the undercard coming your way next. It's Taz and Moose on this Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose, coast to coast, pillar to post on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. This question is from Tina up in beautiful Buffalo, New York. Will the Cowboys be able to throw against the putrid Eagles secondary? Good question, Tina. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. I mean, Taz, they should, right?
I think they will.
I mean, I don't see all of a sudden, that Eagles secondary getting shored up. Kirk Cousins lit him up. I would imagine Dak Prescott. But I'll tell you this, Taz. I don't know if it's necessarily it's about these starts.
Yeah,
I mean they put themselves behind the eight ball in these starts. They did last week against the Jets. They're down 21-3. They did the week before against the Green Bay Packers. They even did against the Miami Dolphins at halftime. That was a white. I mean, Miami's in that game, right?
Yeah, no, not
against
at all.
The Miami Dolphins. The Giants scored the first touchdown against them. They were down behind against the Giants early. They got to get these. They got to start like they play in the second half. They're much better in the second half than in the first half. They've got to figure out what they're doing with these starts. They were down with the Redskins down in Washington early.
No doubt. And the Eagles, D.C., that's Jim Schwartz, former Lions head coach. Yeah, he's got to get it done for sure. That secondary is going to be a – if they're falling apart against the Cowboys, that's going to be a problem, and Prescott's going to have a day. So guys like Maddox and Malcolm Jenkins, these guys got to step up. Darby, this guy's got to step up. So you want to get pressure up front, too, from Fletcher Cox and company. You want to get that. You know, Graham, you want to get these guys moving. Prescott to hopefully throw on the run from horizontal as far as a straight drop back.
Yeah, agree with you. And we'll see. Neither of us picked that game. Doug Peterson came out and basically said the Eagles are going to win the game. Didn't ruffle any feathers down in Dallas. I think I forget the cowboy that was asked the question. He said, well, what do you expect the coach to say?
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to
say the same thing.
I mean,
we will win the game. Hot take.
Right. So I think I'm a little concerned about your Cowboys right now. You got to be honest with you.
Dude, there's been problems with them. I mean, that's my NFC team that I predicted to go. I think I had them going all the way Jones, right? I had them going all the way, I think. I don't know what the hell's going on. I mean, this could be a game like this in conference. Or this could be something to get them back on track.
It could.
You know?
Yeah, good point.
That could happen, maybe, hopefully, for the Cowboys and their fan base. I mean, they're 3-3 right now. So, and the Eagles are 3-3 also. So, I mean, you know, the division sucks. Let's be honest.
Division's terrible.
It really does. I mean, the Giants stink, Skins stink. I mean, it stinks. I mean,
yeah, it's not a good division. We'll see. That'll be a fun one.
What's better, AFC East or the NFC East?
Oh, AFC East.
It is, right?
Yeah.
It's a two-team division, AFC East, though. But then again, the Jets make some noise with Big Sam here.
Well, yeah, been close to New England. And then
that's
you look
not
at
true.
That. What's
There's,
that?
The Bills are 4-1. Come on. What are you saying now? 4-1 Bills, bro.
I'm not knocking the
It'll
Bills.
Be 5-1 after Sunday.
I understand. After you beat the Dolphins.
Damn right.
I get it. I understand that. I don't think the Bills are winning a Super Bowl this year.
I don't know. I hope they do.
Well, maybe they do. And maybe we'll have a memory lane and I have egg on my face at the end of the season. Maybe that does come down to it. Mark the tape, I mean, if you want to. But I don't think the Bills are winning it, but it starts with – and then then you get to the Bills, who are clearly a more consistent team. And when you look at their defense, They've got a dominant unit every time they step on the field.
Yes.
And that gives them an opportunity each and every week.
That's exactly right.
So,
and, you know, I mean,
that plays.
Josh Allen, you never know what you're going to get with him. He's unpredictable. I mean, at times he's on point, and if he gets out, it gets moving. I think he's going to have a lot of yards rushing this week, too. I think he's going to come out of the pocket and run the ball a lot against, you know, against the Dolphins. So, it should be something else.
I can see that.
Party, man. I should head up to Buffalo this weekend. I keep getting emails from the Bills.
Yeah, you should head
VP.
On up.
Yeah, I should go up there.
That would be fun. Throw some guys through tables. Sign some waivers. It'll light up social media.
I might get a lot of retweets if I go up there and suplex some 600-pound Bills fan
no
to a
doubt.
Table. That'd be
retweets,
awesome.
Retweets, I mean, that'll hit the million mark.
Yeah, it might be a lot.
Throw a table on fire.
Yeah, I'll just go. I'll wear one of those, like a FDNY suit, so in case I go on fire when I back arch into the suplex.
Right.
And a helmet, like a fire department helmet. And a mask.
Carry that briefcase full of waivers.
Yes.
That's it.
Having a bunch of drunk Bill fans sign a waiver.
That's it. As long as you're covered legally. That's all
that matters. That's all that matters.
All right. Now, here we go. The undercard.
Taz and the Moose present The Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, Michael, what do we got, bud?
All right, Jennifer Aniston sent Instagram into a frenzy yesterday. She signed up for Instagram and had a million followers in just 5 hours and 16 minutes, setting a Guinness World Record for the fastest IG account to reach the milestone. Do you know who the record was previously held by?
Pete the Body.
That is not right.
Al Dukes?
No, he was 56.
Let's see. Who would generate that? Kanye.
Not Kanye, but a good guess.
Conrad.
Jay-Z.
No. Different.
Kim Kardashian.
Another good guess.
I'm just going to spitball names. Listen, give a hint. Is it a male or female?
Khloe Kardashian.
Okay. Is it a male or female?
It's. Let me just answer the question. Okay, it's Prince thanks. Harry and Meghan Markle.
Oh, who cares joint a rat's about that? Not even American people.
Well, Meghan Markle is.
Still?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think once you're American, you're always American.
She lives over there now, across the pond. No?
I understand.
I love all those people. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't mean that negatively.
So what was their record, Mike?
Their record was 5 hours and 45 minutes, and Aniston was 5 hours, 16 minutes.
What did Aniston post as their first Instagram post?
Who's Aniston? Oh,
Jennifer Aniston.
You're right. You do the last name thing.
A selfie with her friend's co-stars.
Oh, man, they're hinting
Paul
about
Aniston,
that.
Like she's in the Marine Corps. Well, where's Aniston? Here's your five laps.
They're thinking about that show coming back, are they not?
What show?
Friends.
I'm going to step behind here in a segment. What is going on here?
No, Jennifer Aniston.
I'm like on a
star
delay.
Friends. I know.
I remember her Friends.
You remember that show.
Would you want to forget that show, come back for an
hour-long special?
No, oh, wait a minute, Moose.
Oh.
Look what just happened. I actually forgot about this guy.
This is not a minute.
I like cheese and the Packers to continue their winning ways. -5.5 over the Raiders.
That was Bawami.
You must.
Blew the
bit. There you go. Bawami. So I'm sorry. I talked over the initial. Sorry, Bawami. Who did he like? Who did he pick?
I don't know.
Packers.
Oh, he likes the Packers.
I'm
oh,
still
the
stuck
cheese.
On the cheese line. It was funny, actually.
Yeah, the cheese line was good. There he is, Bawami.
3-0.
He is 3-0. He's looking to make it 4-0 this week.
He's 3-0 last year. He sucked.
Hot to begin and then cooled off fast.
Well, when the pressure's on, when the games get tougher to pick, that's when he just.
I don't know about that.
Oh, it's true. I know he's but he stinks.
Bawami cooled off last year, especially the hoops.
The hoops is bad.
The hoops was not Bawami's specialty.
Clueless on hoops.
He was lost.
He was just trying to. he was just trying to fit in. That's why he did the hoops.
Well, that's nice.
Okay.
That Jennifer Aniston, by the way, she hasn't changed one bit, man.
Unbelievable. No, she's a beautiful
tough
woman.
To segue out of Bawami into the beautiful
I know.
Aniston.
Well, Bawami is a beautiful
man. Oh, we don't know what he is.
Beautiful figure.
They dated a little bit.
Yes.
He was a sheep. Like,
that's
with,
it.
Like with flowers around him.
That's exactly right. Yes.
With flowers.
What?
I don't know.
Mike have a great weekend. Across the way, thank you. Folks, have yourself a wonderful weekend. Till Monday, peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.